When the Me Too movement gained momentum a couple of years ago, it stood out to some folks working at our state's capital that Lansing never really had to reckon with the culture of sexual harassment ingrained in politics and lobbying. The discussion now, though, is perhaps more open than it's ever been. Recent reports of sexual harassment in Lansing's political spheres have been reported over the past several weeks. And now MLive reporters Emily Lawler and Lauren Gibbons have followed up with a survey of 40 women working in Lansing, 32 of whom say they have experienced harassment, from pinches to propositions to gender-based discrimination. Emily and Lauren join us now. Welcome both of you back to Stateside.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Can you tell us a little bit about the survey that you designed for this and what you found?
Sure. Yeah. So when we were coming at this story, we really wanted to talk about this being broader than one person, one bad actor. But we acknowledge and recognize the fact that a lot of women who are experiencing the brunt of this kind of behavior are not necessarily going to feel comfortable coming forward. So we designed the survey as a means to give them a voice, give them a little bit of a way to contribute to our reporting in a meaningful way without having to, you know, potentially put their careers at risk or make it more difficult for them to come forward. So we spoke to a lot of people on the record, but we spoke to scores more off the record or on background, many of whom were some of our participants in this survey.
A lot of us have seen piecemeal stories of harassment over the years in many different media, including what happened with Senator Pete Lucido. But this feels different. Is it different?
I'm hoping that it's different. And I actually had started looking at doing a broader piece after the Pete Lucido incident, because one thing that stuck out to me from that was just how pervasive this is and how much that wasn't a Pete Lucido problem as much as it was the entire Capitol's problem to reckon with and the entire political culture's problem to reckon with. And, you know, at that time I was digging a little bit, but the considerations that women have in talking about this, like Lauren mentioned, are incredibly real. I mean, to the extent that I've talked to people whose jobs have been threatened or, you know, they've perceived a threat because of, you know, their willingness to speak out about this in the past. So it's a really hard issue to get at, but my fervent hope is that with this story, we begin to finally get at it because, you know, I think we had to point out the problem to point out why change needs to happen in this area.
Lauren, what was the age range of the 40 women that you talked to on the record?
Oh, gosh. I think a lot of people we spoke with who had experienced sexual harassment, you know, said that they experienced it when they were younger. Although the range of the women that we spoke with was from, you know, just starting out their careers to very well established in their careers. So we had a wide swath of people that we spoke with in various facets of the Capitol, which I think that Emily and I both wanted to address. This is not just a legislative staff problem. This is not just a legislative PR problem or a lobbyist problem or a media problem or any one of those sectors. So we tried to get a pretty broad cross-section of age, employment background, current and former. There was quite a bit of thought that went into, you know, how we wanted to get a good cross-section of women in the Capitol and around the Lansing political sphere.
The kind of things that women talk to you about were not simply lingering looks or a hand on the shoulder, although I get a strong sense those are part of the issue too. The title of this story is Butt Pinching, Threesome Requests, and a Glass Ceiling. How far in the past were the incidents that women told you about?
It really varied. I think that some of the women who talked to us, like Lauren mentioned, it was things they experienced when they were younger. And I do just want to clarify that I think that the pattern I've seen is that it's not that they have gotten less of that as they've gotten older. It's just that, you know, that they're in better protected positions and I think less vulnerable than the younger women who are getting this all the time and then they got earlier in their careers. But, you know, when it comes down to it, there's sort of a persistent issue with this around the Capitol. Certainly some of the instances in that story were older than others, some were newer than others. And, you know, it's funny, some of the people I talked to, including on background, would say things like, well, you know, this is the one that's fresh on my mind because it happened recently, but I don't even know if it's the worst thing that's happened. Like, you know, I think that was sort of this general understanding that this is so pervasive that it's frankly, it's easy to forget about half of the things that happen to you. And you never know why the ones that stick with you do that. I mean, in some cases you do, certainly. And I think everyone has sort of their highlights reel of worsts, but you know, more minor things are happening to the extent that women can't even remember sometimes all of the incidents that they've been a part of.
The conversation is changing in Lansing because, you know, we have articles like this and women who can come forward to talk about it. But do you think the culture is changing, either of you? Lauren, would you like to start?
You know, in addition to the folks that we spoke with in and around Lansing, we also talked to several experts in this subject to get kind of the national perspective. And one thing that the research has really shown is that younger women are a lot less likely to sweep it under the rug. We're seeing kind of this groundswell of younger women being more willing to go on the record or to talk about these instances of inappropriate behavior more frankly. And so I do think in that sense, since the Me Too movement started, we have seen a greater willingness, especially on the part of younger women, to make this an issue. But it's not just women at this point who need to be having this conversation. For true cultural change to happen, this not only needs to be acknowledged, it needs to be taken extremely seriously by men. So I think it does remain to be seen. And, you know, I hope with sharing these stories and continuing to report on this issue, we are able to see not just the solutions working better, but also just a more comfortable place for women to work. Because fundamentally, experiencing the things that many of the women who spoke to us say they experienced, it makes work harder. It makes it more difficult to be in this space.
Over the weekend, one of the top names in Lansing city politics, Virge Bernero, the former mayor, dropped out of running for another term at City Hall after, Emily, your reporting brought to light some pretty serious allegations of sexual harassment, propositions, unwanted touching, and conversations that were overtly sexual. He's not very old. He's middle-aged anyway. Not so old that you can dismiss him as being, you know, something of another generation who doesn't understand the modern workplace and how women expect to be treated. At the same time, there was a recent case where the lobbyist T.J. Buchholz, who's Gen X, came under fire for egregious sexual harassment charges at work. Do you think that there's any generational element of giving men a cover from having come from either a different era or having been a creature of Lansing more generally that has provided and still provided safety to people who are behaving inappropriately?
You know, sort of pinging off what Lauren said, you know, I think that women have done a really good job standing up for each other on this. I've talked to women certainly who have stood up to people, you know, seasoned professionals like Kelly Rossman McKinney is in the story. You know, she had actually confronted T.J. Buchholz because she heard this circulating in the rumor mill and told him, like, you need to stop this. We need more men to do that, frankly. And, you know, they do get a level of protection, I think, because some of this is so commonplace, because the Capitol is a weird work environment. I can't think of many other workplaces where you're regularly hanging out with your subordinates in some cases or colleagues in other cases at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I can't think of many other workplaces where you're, you know, you're, all your networking opportunities are sort of these out of office fundraisers, booze laden events, right? So I really do think that there are some unique factors here, but that men have a really big role to play in sort of peer enforcement, number one. I've heard stories of men sticking up for their female employees, but it's hard sometimes. And also just like the pure politics of the situation. You know, I've talked to women who have said that they didn't feel comfortable reporting their sexual harasser because their boss had a bill in his committee or something like that. So I really do think that there's some politics and some layers to this, but that men can make a difference if they read this story and take it seriously.
The voice of Emily Lawler, reporter for MLive. We're also talking with her colleague, Lauren Gibbons. You can read their story, Butt Pinching, Threesome Requests, and a Glass Ceiling, online at MLive right now. Emily, Lauren, it's great to hear from you. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having us. And thanks
so much
for having the subject.